This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. And we welcome you to the program. We're glad to have Dr. Amanda Manning with us today. She's a pediatrician at the Geisinger Bloomsburg Hospital. She's here today to talk about what we've been talking about in the news recently, measles, the resurgence of measles and the cases that have been growing, what you need to do and what you can do in advance. Dr. Manning, thanks for being with us on the program. Starting with the obvious, measles was at one point declared eliminated in the U.S., but what has brought us to the point where we are talking about it again?
I think to some extent, immunization rates have changed sufficiently to reduce community immunity to the point where then we see a recurrence of the virus.
And at what point has it started to pick up? I mean, I keep hearing news reports of pretty large amount of cases various places.
Right. I think within the past 2 to 3 years is when the cases started to pick up. I'm sure you've heard about the cases in Utah or Texas or South Carolina. And then there have been an increase in cases here in Pennsylvania as well.
Now, as for Pennsylvania, is that the southern Lancaster County and so forth, I believe I heard? Is that kind of where they're focused here?
Right. The bulk of the cases, there are 67 reported cases, which means that there are likely more cases that have occurred, but these are the ones that have made contact with the healthcare system. So yes, there were 67 cases in Lancaster, 20 in Lebanon, but then also Berks, Chester, Dauphin, Montgomery, Northumberland, and York counties have been involved. Those places have had less than 10 cases per county, but yes, there have been greater numbers in those areas.
I'm guessing that if it's been 20-some years, there's a lot of healthcare workers now who haven't dealt with this firsthand at all. Is that the case at Geisinger?
Yes, I would say as pediatricians, we are actually a little bit concerned because we don't want to miss the case of measles that comes into our office. It is very contagious. So you just have to be in the space where the person with measles was. If it's within 2 hours, it's that contagious. And so we don't want our waiting rooms to be affected or patients in the waiting room and places like that. And you're exactly right. I think everybody's studying up on what the disease looks like, you know, the history of fever, cough, congestion, and then the rash developing. It's not a disease that we wanted to have to recognize again, I guess, in a way.
Are a lot of people under the impression it's just a rash that their kid will have to deal with as and not being aware of much more dangerous behind the scenes kind of symptoms?
Yes, I think in a way we have benefited from our own success. In the past, before the vaccine was available, there were 3 to 4 million cases of measles a year, and that had 48,000 hospitalizations with about 500 children in the United States that would die from measles. And so because we haven't seen that to those levels, then we don't recognize the possibility of the seriousness.
Immunizations, how long have they been out there and what has changed that people are no longer, for the most part, immunized?
So I would actually say, truthfully, for the most part, people are immunizing. So I think vaccination rates are still around 92%. It's just that we need to achieve like 95% immunization level in order to achieve that eradication situation. It's probably been like 20 years ago now that they came out with a study that's since been refuted on multiple occasions with respect to whether or not measles causes autism. It does not, the measles vaccine. And we have the opportunity to have a lot of access to all kinds of information. And I think sometimes that information gets siloed. And so you hear the same things over and over again and don't really have access to all aspects of information about vaccines and things of that nature, and so can form an opinion that may not be well informed by the information that's available to us.
Certainly that autism supposed link that kind of got things going. But have you seen that the fact that when COVID started and the vaccines were being rejected by so many, that kind of spread to vaccinations in general? Or is that just my perception as an outsider?
I think there has always been some degree of vaccine hesitancy. It's a strange process, right? And it's hard to explain how it works. And I don't necessarily think it has to do with COVID per se. It may in part be a change in how information is given to us and how we receive our information.
Yeah, certainly the internet age has allowed information to spread, whether it's accurate, completely wrong, or somewhere in the middle.
Yes, I would definitely agree. And I think we all welcome a conversation or a dialogue. I think the difficulty comes when people are so convinced that there is no road forward. I think that's where the difficulty comes in. And again, I think information at our disposal is amazing. It's that the questioning or the interrogating of that information is where potential difficulty can come.
And at vaccinations, I mean, there can be repercussions that are unfavorable, but do people tend to look at things like that anecdotally and say, well, you know, this person I knew had this problem, so therefore I'm avoiding getting these shots for my kid? Or, you know, where does that even come from?
I think that comes from how we are as humans, right? We like stories. Stories help us to understand what's happening around us. And so, of course, the anecdote potentially can make it such that you weigh that more heavily, right? Somebody's story is going to be more meaningful to you than if we spew a bunch of facts about things like immunization. So yes, the safety profile is very high. Vaccines save lives. It's a fact. And I think that's hard to realize if you know of somebody that might have even had a situation happen where somebody, let's say a four-month-old had a seizure before they got the vaccine, but if the timing happened that they got the seizure after the vaccine, we make a connection in our mind that may or may not be true. Even people's stories may have to be interrogated a little bit more in a way.
Let's talk about the illness itself. What symptoms can you look for, and is it overly contagious?
It's highly contagious, so much different from the flu. You don't have to come into contact with someone who has the measles to get it. You only have to be in the area that they were in to pick it up. So that's the contagiosity. About 7 to 14 days after you're exposed to somebody with measles, you could develop a high fever, runny nose, cough, red watery eyes. Sometimes they get spots in the mouth. They're called coplic spots. And then the rash starts a few days later, and it will be on the face, behind the ears, and then extend to the rest of the body. And you're contagious about 4 days before the rash erupts, and you're contagious 4 days after the rash appears.
And the concern isn't having a rash or a fever, but the long-term damage that can be done.
Yes, there's multiple complications. So you can get You can die, you can get pneumonia, you can get encephalitis, and there's a type of encephalitis that happens years later. Yes, there are several complications. Again, if back in the time before we had vaccines, 48,000 hospitalizations, probably dehydration, probably pneumonia, probably encephalitis. So all of those complications are a large concern.
People like me who had the shots, but it's been many years, is that a concern, or do older folks need to get an update, or is it good for life?
Overall, it's good for life. I think that the older you are, the more likely you are to have contracted it. If I asked my parents, for example, they had it, so they are protected. So no, the shot works. If you were immunized after, like, from 1969 on, your protection is excellent.
at least in that category. At what age are those given normally?
Generally, the first one is given at 1 year of age, and then the second immunization is given between 4 and 6 years of age. And the main reason that they give the second dose is because they want to catch anybody that had missed the vaccine. So it's a second chance to get a first dose in a way. And it really helps to protect the population as a whole.
Aside from being vaccinated, is there anything else people can do?
I would say, you know, the usual things like careful hand washing and maybe not going to places where measles is. I think that's very tough nowadays, right? People will travel all over the world. So I would say the best strategy, because it's such an excellent strategy, is to be immunized.
Are you personally seeing a shift in attitudes of people over the past couple of years away from vaccination, or has it really been hit and miss with your patients?
I would say still the vast majority of people are getting immunized.
Is there a sort of a demographic that you find is anti-vax, or is it kind of across the board, just whoever?
I really don't think that you could have a description for who may choose to vaccinate and who may not. If somebody walked into the room, I could not predict based on socioeconomic status or anything like that.
One thing you wish every listener right now could take with them to help, kind of nip this problem before it gets worse.
I would highly recommend, I do really believe that vaccines do save lives. If your child hasn't been vaccinated for the MMR on the schedule, I would highly recommend doing it.
Are a lot of the reasons people don't want the vaccinations anecdotal things from other people, or the autism concerns, or is there really a wide selection of reasons people give?
Exactly as you stated, it's definitely things like the autism concerns and whatnot. I think there's a wide range of reasons.
And that concludes today's WPGM Community Forum with Dr. Amanda Manning, a pediatrician at the Bloomsburg Geisinger facility. We've been talking about measles, and we want to thank Dr. Manning for being with us to share this information with our listeners. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.